This one in 1 Kings 8 is the story of the consecration of the temple. And that's what we've been reading. And it's a great thing that God chose to dwell in a special place. He's everywhere. And of course, that continually baffles us. How can he be in a special place and still, as God, be everywhere? But we'll leave that for a later time in the day, one day, to work on. The gospel, once again, preaching brings healing. How many times, and this is especially true in Mark, but his presence, our Lord's presence, his speaking of the Father, his touching people, you know, brings healing. In other words, healing is the normal accompaniment of preaching the gospel. It should always be taking place. St. Francis Xavier, when he first got to India, you know, he was an oddity. You know, the Indian people, their skin is darker than his, and so they, the little kids were always around him. So he taught them to pray over one another for the gift, you know, for healing in the name of Jesus. And they did, and the kids were healed. So then they went home, and they tried it out on their parents, and they were healed. You see how important healing is in preaching the gospel. I forgot his name now, that young priest who was here about a year or two ago now. You remember him? Well, you get the idea, you know who it was. You know, when he was in the seminary, he was one of these, wear your long soutane all the time and stay as far away as you can from charismatics. And he was like, the Latin, very conservative, very Latin mass, the only mass we should say. And he was really kind of, he wasn't that extreme because they wouldn't ordain him if he were, but he was heading in that direction. But when he got out and started to preach, people were healed. And that really mixed him up. Like, that's not supposed to happen. That's for those charismatics, you see. And it was because of that that he began to reflect more. And then he went to his bishop. This is a beautiful story. And he said to the bishop, "Bishop, when I'm preaching, people are getting healed. You know, and they want me to pray over them, and I pray over them, and they get healed. And I'm confused. What do I do now?" And the bishop, must be a very fatherly man, said, "You know, I don't know much about this. I'm not sure I could really guide you in this. But Bishop Sam Jacobs in the next diocese has had years of experience. I'm going to put you under him for 3 years so you can discuss with him and work out with him. And then you come back and we'll talk about where we go from there." Wasn't that beautiful? Humble, fatherly, supernatural. So he did that, and people were getting healed all over the place. And another young fellow had the same, young priest, had the same thing happen to him. And so they started to team up. And then he went back to his bishop, and the young other one went to his bishop, and they got permission to be a wandering preaching team. And they go all over the world preaching and healing. It's that important. And so it's not wrong to ask for the gift of healing. But if you do, be prepared to have a lot of work. You know, people want healing. And if that healing can manifest Jesus, you see, then that's a great success. That's a great success. And that's why, especially as I say in Mark, but we always have this. In this section of Mark where he's talking about our Lord's public life, healing, healing, healing. And so, as we are starting now with this evangelization course we have and other things, that the Lord feel free to heal. And we'll be willing to help from then on, you know, tell them more about the Lord, help them with this and what's going on. And because all of a sudden God gets very real when you're sick and he heals you. It gets very real. And so as soon as they heard that this was going on, remember, this is, you know, what medicine was like back in the first century. And so there were no hospitals. The monks invented the hospitals. You know, there was nothing. Whatever villages or towns or countryside he entered, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch only the tassel of his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. Why? That's one great way to preach who the Father really is. So now we have prayer here and prayer out at the abortion clinic today for healing. These women need healing and their children need saving so they don't get killed today. And that's why people stay here and pray and go out to the clinic to pray. You see, to save lives, the child's life, but also the mother's life. I think I've told you this story before about this woman, lawyer, studying to be a civil rights lawyer. This was when all that stuff was going on. And so she started talking. I did tell you this before, didn't I? And the thing that struck me the most was the foul mouth. You know, I'm going to be for this and that, you know. And I guess you can't do that unless you want to have a foul mouth. But about midnight, I was getting tired. She finally just stopped and said, "I've had an abortion." And then the whole thing became clear. She was trying to justify that abortion by, you know, going against the structures of this government, many of which are unjust and should be changed. There's no doubt about that. But then we prayed. We really prayed. And she made a good confession. And she got healed. And so that's the role of healing, is to show how much God loves us. And I think you know that the word in Greek for heal and the word for save are the same word. Sozi. To heal and to save. Because when we're saved, we're totally healed.